What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another post game here on Rangers Central. And the Rangers sneak by the Boston Bruins, winning 3-2 over them. And this was, it goes without saying that this was a pivotal game if the Rangers want any sort of chance left of making the playoffs, considering the fact that they were going into this with 54 points. Boston at 60. This is one of those 4-point games, if you will. Even though, to be completely frank with you, both teams looked like they had no intention of wanting to make the playoffs today with how much slop there was. My eyeballs were bleeding watching both of these teams play hockey tonight, watching both of them just make careless turnovers nonstop all game, not being able to hit the net, not being able to manage the puck. But nonetheless, the Rangers end up getting the win here. And a lot of it was because of the special teams, which is what we talked about all the time, that the Rangers, the only way they win is because of special teams. And that's what happened tonight. They got the special teams going for them. They limited the shot quantity for sure. But yeah, again, just both teams were very sloppy. This was such a boring game. I nearly fell asleep. Paul Bissonnette was making jokes during the intermission about how boring it was after the first period. And yeah, I backed that entirely. I tweeted right after that. It was one of the most boring games of hockey I've seen in my life. And honestly, that files up there with a lot of games this year. The game in Buffalo really sticks out to me as one that was really, really boring recently. But either way, if the Rangers do want to make it, this is where they had to get 2 points. There is still a lot that stood out to me in this game that worries me going forward with this group. But that goes without saying because of the fact that there's been a lot throughout the season. But this game really concerned me, despite getting the win, for a certain amount of reasons. And I'll get into that. Before I do, leave a like on the video / live stream on your way in. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel, especially if you guys are Ranger fans, and turn on your notifications so you know I upload or go live. The thing that worries me still as I'm watching this game go along is every single time the middle six in particular the line with Brodzinski, Kreider, and Cooley there, and then Smith out there, Trocheck, Lafreniere, whenever those guys are out there, it is non-productive minutes. It is just not productive at all. And that worries me going forward. It really does, because how many times have we talked about ad nauseum? This team is too much of a one-line team. This team is too much of a one-line team. And for a while, it was obviously the same exact line with Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere. Now you're seeing it with Zibanejad, Panarin, Miller, which Miller makes that entire first goal happen as he gets in on the forecheck. Carlo turns that over, and unfortunately, Miller doesn't even get an assist here. And then Mika Zibanejad gets the puck out from the corner and then feeds Panarin to snipe that one to make it 1-0. Late in the first period, Boston would tie it within a few seconds, though they took the lead, but two goals that Igor probably should have had, and it also was kind of disgraceful considering the fact that Boston, yes, the Rangers did not play the best defensively today, because I know the shot quantity might say otherwise, but I still felt there were times they were hemmed in their own end a little too much. But I did, at the same time, Boston was missing the net, and you are not facing a lot of shots, and Igor still let in two goals that I felt he should have had, especially the Elias Lindholm shot that I really thought he probably should have had there. I think that one was a little bit more inexcusable there. I don't love what Panarin did on that play, though, where he just completely skates by the puck carrier. I don't know what he's doing there. And he gets beat completely to the loose puck there as well. That cannot happen. And that's how that Lindholm goal even occurred in the first place. And then don't even get me started with the first goal where, again, you're just getting Will Borgen just gets beat behind the play there, and then Miller blocks it, and then Pasta ends up getting it for a second chance and scoring there. Igor, again, probably could have had that one. I digress. The third period comes along, and the Rangers honestly did not look good for most of the third period, or the first 5 minutes, I would say, of that third period, especially because they were killing the penalty there to start it. And then all of a sudden, they end up scoring, because that's just how this goes. Vinny Trocheck ends up getting a goal. It was not officially a power play goal, but it pretty much was a power play goal, because That power play looked like garbage tonight, by the way, might I add, considering the fact that they had one shot between the on their first two power plays, they had one shot combined. They had one. And then, yeah, like I said, they end up getting it towards the end of the power play. So not a power play goal as Marchand was first coming out, but Keandre Miller puts it on goal. Trocheck deflects it. That ended up tying the game up. And then this is what kills me. The shorthanded goal is what kills me. Because Chris Kreider, why is it that he can't do this more often? Mika carries the puck up the ice. And lazy back checking from Boston. Kreider takes advantage of it, comes full steam ahead, and ends up getting a goal from a weird angle, which Korpisalo probably should have had that one, to be honest with you. But nonetheless, they get the goal there. Why is Chris Kreider not skating with that urgency more often? That's it. Skate with that urgency more often. I don't know where that is from him, but either way, I'd like to see more, because earlier in the game, I'm watching him just skate by loose pucks. He was ahead in the foot race in the first period. There was one point where he was ahead in the foot race and he still did not retrieve the puck. How are you beating the guy in on the forecheck and not getting the loose puck there? There's a lot that was, and I don't agree with this. Like, I can't excuse him. First of all, if he's hurt, then again, sit. Second of all, if him being hurt is why he cannot get a puck after winning a foot race, that's not an excuse on that play. I'm sorry, that's not an excuse on that play. But nonetheless, I'd like to see what he did shorthanded more often, where he actually used his feet. Because if he did, he would not be... I wouldn't have one bad word to say about Chris Kreider if he played this way all the damn time and moved his feet that much all the damn time. And yeah, this is it. If he's truly hurt, why is he playing in the Four Nations? Why is he playing in the Four Nations if he's truly hurt? But either way, again, there's a lot that worries me going forward still with this team, but they end up getting 2 points tonight that they desperately needed, because if they didn't beat Boston tonight, if they lost in regulation especially, then the chances of making the playoffs were pretty much gonna get down to like, I don't even know the percentage number it would be, but it would have been a very slim chance. To make it. If they lost. But. With how bad Boston looked tonight, by the way, it makes it even worse that you got killed by them. A couple days ago. Makes it look even worse, because that team looks like they have no intention of making the playoffs. They looked abysmal. They have a power play that doesn't work. They look like garbage 5-on-5. They couldn't move the puck at all. I thought the Rangers had an inability to move the puck. Boston said, hold my beer. And it was such an ugly hockey game. From a pure hockey standpoint, just garbage to watch. Made my eyeballs bleed. Vomit worthy. Atrocious, but this is a win that they needed at the end of the day. If they want to make it, or if they are going to have any sort of chance of making it, which they're still going to have to play at an unbelievable pace to make it, which is going to be extremely difficult. But I can tell you right now, the middle six is going to have to start to step up. And, I mean, yeah, Igor almost skated too far out, and he almost missed the wraparound there from Pasta, which ended up which could have ended up going in as well. But they're going to have to be better than a one-line team. The defense goes without saying. Ryan Lindgren still needs to go. Will Borgen did not play a good game today. Keandre Miller, that pair in particular, was not as sharp as they've been lately, which that isn't as big of a concern to me because, of, again, they've been probably the most consistent pair night in and night out for this team. So I won't get too worried yet, but they need a functioning middle six, and they need Ryan Lindgren to go. Zach Jones and Brayden Schneider was the most consistent pair, but I'm sure that Zach Jones won't play the next game, even though it's clear as day he should be in the lineup. And the Mets just brought back Pete Alonso. Sorry about that. I just got distracted entirely. Wow. Okay. So there it is. Pete Alonso back with the Mets. So now I'm going to have to do a Mets stream after this. That's lovely. But I'm glad that's at least done before spring training kicks off. Contract? I have no clue yet. I just saw Jeff Passan's tweet. All right, so I'm gonna have to stream on my Mets channel after this one. But yeah, we're not here to talk about Pete Alonso yet. If anyone wants to tune in for Mets conversation, go to Mets Central. There, I'm kind of just reacting to this one live here, so I apologize that I might get a little bit distracted by trying to find the contract details. So we'll have to wait and see there, but glad that saga is over. Oh, the deal's already here. We go. So 2 years includes an opt out, $30 million this year. All right, that's a very good deal. I am very happy with that deal. Very happy with that. Sorry, I said I wouldn't get distracted, and I am. But nonetheless, let's get back to hockey here. Let's talk about the task at hand, which is the fact that, again, the Rangers need to, going forward, you need more from your middle six. Your defense doesn't look good. And Zach Jones, like I was saying before, that's where I was. Zach Jones, the Zach Jones front. If he sits for Euro Vaakanainen next game, I'm going to be livid because, again, that pair was the most stable pair tonight. If you're going to take anyone out, take Ryan Lindgren out. Take Ryan Lindgren out then. That's my opinion, because I would much rather see Zach Jones, who's actually capable of moving the puck. And I get that Zach Jones isn't some superb elite defenseman. I get that. However, he is better than what they have right now. He's better than a lot of what they have right now. And it is just criminal to me that they've been refusing to play him. And I think he made the most of his opportunity tonight, and I'd like to see him back in the lineup next game. Will it happen? No, because Vaakanainen was sick, and they're probably just going to play him against Pittsburgh unless Vaakanainen's not ready. But either way, we will see what happens the next game with that. Sorry, I keep getting distracted by this Pete Alonso thing. I really am. I knew that news was going to break during a inconvenient time. I just knew it. But I'm going to get to the chat since I haven't really looked yet. Leave a like, by the way, if you haven't subscribed. If you're listening to the audio version, give a rating and review. By the way, if you didn't know, you can listen to the audio version, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever your podcasting platform is. Go ahead and give a rating, review, and go ahead and listen. I would appreciate it. I will give my thoughts on Pete Alonso signing on my Mets channel, which I will link in the chat right now for anyone that wants to tune in and watch that after this live stream, because I'm literally just going to hop over on that stream as soon as humanly possible. So I'm not going to get too much into that. So let's see what you guys are saying. Yeah, Zach Jones is the only guy that could carry the puck out of the zone. I don't get it either. I really don't. It's really annoying that they just refuse to give him enough of an opportunity, but it would be great, and I would love if by some miracle they would just acknowledge that that is the way you win in today's NHL, by having more puck movers on your defense. And again, you need a good mix of both. You need guys that are stable in their own end and also can move the puck, but you just need more of that. I don't know if I agree with that one, Iceman. I don't think it was a defensive game. I think both teams were just very sloppy tonight. And yeah, Lafreniere has been dog shit. That goes without saying. Lafreniere has been terrible. There's really not much to say there, to be honest with you. And Fox also needs to actually shoot on the power play, Gil. He's not shooting enough on the power play. And again, the power play was so gross tonight in terms of how ineffective it was. Pittsburgh and Columbus are next. Yeah, and those are teams that they should beat, realistically. If they're going to be a playoff team, I mean, those are teams that you should be beating. Simply put, you should be beating them. Because Columbus is dealing with injuries right now, and Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. How's Pittsburgh doing since the trade? Honestly, I'm not even sure. I mean, they're probably just still like, yeah, they're still not great. Yeah, I thought for a second Igor did let that in. If you're talking about where Laura, I almost got it from crashing the net there. Yeah, like this is exactly why you should be beating them too. This is exactly why. Ugh, don't speak that into existence here. It comes down to a shootout game this season. Yeah, Kevin Hayes 1C in the big 2025 somehow. They should beat the ever-living piss out of them, realistically. Anyone going to Pitt for the game on the 23rd? Anyone in the chat going to that game? I could definitely say that I will probably not, to be honest with you. Probably not. Although I do want to start going to more road games. I could say that I am not going to that one. It's too cold there. Yeah, I see you guys in the chat with the Pete Alonso stuff. Like I said, Pete Alonso talk is going to happen on Met Central if you guys want to hear that. It will be very shortly from shortly after this stream. So I'll put the link in the chat. Go ahead and click the link there. Subscribe, all that stuff if you really are curious here. I want to hear my thoughts on that, because if I get into it, the Yankee fans won't be happy, and then the non-baseball fans will get pissed off too. But I will be, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't distracted by it right now. I definitely am. Yes, I did go to Buffalo last year for the opener. I don't think I'm not going to go back to Buffalo just because I want to see new arenas, but I know they put in a new Jumbotron since I've went. And then Scotiabank, I went there last year too, and they also are renovating it. So I'm unlucky with that. Apparently all the arenas I go to just get renovated right after. I want to, but I like to bring this to at least a half hour here, the post game streams before I wrap things up. I like to at least bring it to the nice 30-minute mark. Yeah, Rempy had like three shots. When I looked at the shot total, I couldn't believe that too. How it was like Rempy and Panarin were combined for six shots on goal. Couldn't believe that. JT Miller screwed me tonight, I could tell you that, because I had him getting two shots in one of the parlays that I had, and just did not happen. Didn't happen. Which was very unfortunate there. But it's all right. Pasta helped me get a little bit of a win there. I do want to go to Nashville for a game, for sure. Nashville's definitely up on the list. In terms of other arenas that are up on the list for me, I'm trying to think. Boston is an arena I'd want to go to, which I've heard mixed things about it, but I'm intrigued. Vegas is definitely one. Montreal. But Nashville's definitely up there. You hate T-Mobile Arena? Really? I heard good things about it. Tampa's definitely up there too, yeah. I'm trying to think of other arenas that I definitely want to see. Chicago too. Pull up to Ball Arena. Gotta pull up to the sack. Honda Center in Anaheim. Yeah, I heard that's a good arena too. I heard Dallas is solid too. Oh, wow. Okay, $50 from Mr. Sexy. My man, that's crazy. That is crazy. Thank you so much for that. I am definitely thankful for that. Undeserved, but I appreciate it. Mr. Sexy with the $50. Love the streams. Keep it up. Never was a big Rempy fan, but starting to like him on the fourth line. A simple comment with the $50 dono, and I really do appreciate that. But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, ever since Rempy has came back from the suspension, he's been so much better. He's been a lot better, and you're seeing him more disciplined now, and you're starting to see him actually control more of his body versus before, where he was just running wild and getting himself into too much trouble with the hits that he was throwing. But thank you for the $50 there. I really do mean that. And now Ken with the $5. Thank you. I appreciate that. Despite the game-winning goal, I can't stand Kreider. Guy never shows any effort in the defensive zone. Yeah, I was screaming at the TV about that as well. And like I said, when he lost that foot race earlier on in the game, or won the foot race, didn't have the puck. But thank you for the $5, Ken. Yeah, he's like a mummy out there. Edmonton is an arena I'd like to go to also, yeah. That arena looks nice. Do I think they stick with Mika on the first line, move him down to drop Rodzinski third line? Has it been good? They're going to keep with the line that's working, I feel like. I really think they're going to stick with that. Yeah, Seattle too. I don't know how I forgot about Seattle and Vancouver. I mean, that's one you could do in that's one road trip there too. Honestly, all the Western Canadian, like the Western / Canadian road trip arenas, I'd like to visit because I would really like to see the Saddle Dome too, even though that's going to be demoed soon. I don't know. I forgot when they are getting rid of the Saddle Dome, but I would like to see the Saddle Dome before it goes. If next year is the last year, then I should probably actually just make that happen. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'd like to visit all of those. And then Seattle on top of that. I'll definitely have to do that at some point, though. Especially if the Saddle Dome's really going away. I'd really love to get there next year. How's the Islanders arena? It's really good, to be honest with you. I like UBS. I love how wide the concourses are at UBS. I love how, at least from my experiences, this could be just me, but I've never had to wait in line once for the bathroom at that arena. I've never had to wait at all. And food options are good there too. I can't lie. I like UBS. The outside looks like a library, but inside the arena too, there's really not a... Yeah, I'm strictly talking about the inside because the bad with UBS is mostly outside of the arena. Inside the arena though, I mean, there's really... There's really no bad seat in that arena. There's not a single bad seat there. And yeah, like this is really it. It's nice, but it's not in an ideal location at all. That's really what it comes down to. Yeah, Montreal, I would love to go to as well. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here so I could do my Pete Alonso stream now. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you guys are new to the channel. Turn on your notifications so you know I upload or go live. And I'll see you guys in the next one.